Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Special day on Sabres Live coming up. Great to have you with us from our studio in downtown Buffalo inside of KeyBank Center. Ilya Lobushkin.
Lobushkin?
How's your lobe?
My lobe. Oh, yeah. It's getting better. It's getting better.
Is it better?
Yeah.
You look pretty balanced today.
It's about like 120% the size of the other one. So it's still got
the fact
work
that
to
it
do.
Resonated with our audience yesterday was
Man,
really
that
funny.
Is so
and
funny.
Then I felt like I got bit last night.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, gosh, my ear's going to look just like you today.
We're going to, we have to balance each other. That's the way it goes. Oh, by the way, sporting my chef's restaurant golf shirt I got in the mail yesterday.
Of course.
By the way,
in the mail.
Jim,
you can't make a personal appearance.
Well, no, baby. Jim over there sent me a shirt. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear it today. And now I'm hungry because I mentioned that. So I want food. I may have to stop and get their frozen stuff. It's in the stores and everything.
That's
now, so.
A much better idea than what you suggested months ago. That you always had to have some awful frozen pizza on hand in your freezer, some generic no-name.
You're going to have some chef's frozen
be the way to go.
Pasta in there, yes.
24 hours from now, we are going to be on site, live on the air. Johnson's Landing in Hamburg should be beautiful and sunny, low 70s, perfect for a light hoodie, which is just like our pictures, quite frankly. You know, these light hoodies that we're wearing and the Sabres swag, we will have... Sabres stuff to give away through trivia tomorrow at Johnson's Landing. Rob Ray is going to be there as well. And, of course, it will be the first of our Sabres Live in the Saberhood.
I think Razor's excited about it. You know why?
Why?
He reposted it on Instagram.
Really?
About the whole thing. I mean, like, Razor, like, he's not the most active on social media, but when he puts something out there, it's because it means something to him, and he reposted it.
Jason Robertson, the newsmaker in the NHL yesterday, signing a one-year deal with Dallas. This is really interesting. We had 15 players file for salary arbitration. Mm-hmm. 10 of them have deals ahead of time. 5 possibilities still remain. But Robertson avoids arbitration by taking a deal at $12 million that matches Rantanen for the team high and walks him into unrestricted free agency unless he signs an extension in season and or is traded. I think, while this was not what I was expecting, I think this is an incredibly interesting deal for Robertson, for the Stars, and for the entire NHL.
Yeah, obviously it brings back the market a little bit. Like Leo Carlson, $18 million, Connor Bedard, $15 million, and now Robertson had $15 million on the table from Seattle and said, I don't want to go there and sign long term. So the Dallas Stars did not trade him, or Seattle did not acquire Jason Robertson. So there was a few things with that. It's not just about the money. He wanted to be in Dallas. He loves Dallas. He loves the Stars. But he understands the cap and how the cap will open up for Dallas in a year from now. No Tyler Seguin on the salary cap next year. The cap going up next year. So I think that if you're Jason Robertson, you're saying, what can I get this year? And then where can I get the extension to go starting in January this year? He can sign a long-term extension, which would be a 7-year deal with the Dallas Stars. And maybe it's 12 now. And it's 15 for the next 7 years. I think Jim Neal already has that in his top drawer.
Yeah.
He has the, okay, we'll sign you to 12 now. And if everything goes according to plan and you perform well and it goes well, we're going to come up with the 7-year, $15 million offer starting at, in a year from now.
Part of me, the large part of me, wants to agree with you, but I think because this has not publicly appeared as the easiest negotiation, I think there's still a major percentage chance that we see Robertson
on the move in the season, though.
That's the thing. Imagine being able to acquire Robertson on an expiring deal if you're a contender.
Well,
like, if things don't go right for Dallas this year, who knows? This would be unbelievable.
So there's two trade scenarios. One is, well, we're trading Jason Robertson. He has no trade protection because he's not gained the status to be able to get trade protection. So you're looking at all the teams in the NHL and say, we can trade you Jason Robertson as a rental.
Yeah.
So that's the price to pay for a rental. Or you go to Jason Robertson before the trade deadline. You said, we're going to trade you. If you would want to sign a deal, a long-term deal with team A, B, or C.
He won't.
But Dallas would get much more in return.
Maybe.
If that was the case.
Hypothetically, I just think it would be the highest cost rental we've seen in a long time.
A $12 million rental?
No, I mean highest value for a team that acquires him. I think teams will part with a whole bunch, even with an unknown, as far as being able to lock him up. That's what I think this situation
could produce. If you're desperate, yes.
And obviously, you never know with Carolina. Because if they sit there with cap space, who knows? Anyway, then there's Pat Kane.
Buffalo, Chicago.
Read between the lines, if you will. This was Hawks GM Kyle Davidson on TSN 1050.
He's earned the right to take his time and make a decision. We see him very often. He trains at our practice facility in the off season, and so we'll await his decision. But he knows that our door is, it's always open, and he's a Blackhawk at heart for life, even if he's not wearing a jersey. But we've got a great deal of reverence, respect, and love for Patrick Kane, and so we'll leave him to that decision, and we'll see where he ends up when that day comes.
Nothing, something, somewhere in between.
I think it's somewhere in between. I almost read it in a negative way for the Chicago Blackhawks, and Patrick Kane is here. Like, if it had to be done, it would have been done already. He's training there.
It's July 22nd. It doesn't have to be done.
No. But if there was interest and it was like, yes, let's get it done, it would be signed, right? But to me, it's almost like, Patrick Kane is a little lukewarm for the idea. And maybe Chicago is a little lukewarm for the idea as well. So we haven't come to that place where we meet just yet, which opens the door for Sabres and other teams maybe to maybe make a splash if it comes to the right timing to add a Patrick Kane. And right now, the timing for Buffalo is still not there, because I still think that a Patrick Kane move comes with maybe a Connor Hellebuyck move and moving some pieces.
But what if it didn't?
What if you just added
Patrick Kane? What if you just signed him now? It doesn't preclude you from doing the deal that you still want to do if you're chasing Hellebuyck.
Yeah, so I was on the ice this morning with a bunch of goalies, right, with the Legio group and all of that. And one of the shooters,
Legends,
yeah, we are legends. And one of our shooters came over and he's like, hey, what do you think is going to happen with the Sabres? Who are they going to move and all that? And funny enough, we had a conversation, and looking back at some of my notes, I talk about Konstantin Hellenius maybe starting the season in Rochester because he's waiver exempt. You know who else is waiver exempt? Kulik and Austlin.
Yes, we've known this.
But I'm just saying,
I didn't think it needed to be
reiterated. No, but in my head, it was always like, they're in Buffalo. Right. But if you have to make space,
yes,
and you say, you know what, let's start with Patrick Kane, and we'll see what injuries, and we want the depth, and we want the ability to be able to fit pieces there. These three young kids could all start in Rochester. I don't think that's the route that... Yarmo wants or Lindy Ruff wants, but it could happen if you were forced to do so. But you could sign Kane and then move other pieces later, or just use Rochester as a way to have a bit of an in-between for some guys.
Now, I'm not saying publicly or behind the scenes there aren't Sabres lobbying for the signing of Pat Kane, but if you're the Hawks and number 98... is out. Really, really... Now, again, this isn't someone going out there on their own personal campaign. This is somebody, Bedard, being asked questions and then responding to questions. But if 98 of the Hawks wants 88 of the Hawks to come back, don't you think that's going to happen?
I think it is. And again, maybe it's more on the Patrick Kane side, because the Hawks are not winning the Stanley Cup this year. Right? Like, they don't have Connor Bedard for the first half of the season.
It's not that long. Well, he'll be back in
November. It may be, but like November, December, whatnot. But they're not putting
themselves...
It's like
being halfway through July.
Exactly. Are we in August already? But the Kane aren't... The Hawks are not winning the Stanley Cup this year. So Patrick Kane, it's about what do you want for your goal next year?
Yeah.
He's won... two Stanley Cups. Three. He scored the game winner in 2010. I should know that. He's won three Stanley Cups. Maybe a cup isn't in the cards for him saying, I want to win another cup. Maybe it's just saying, I want to go where maybe I'm comfortable. I'll retire there, put the Hawks jersey back on. Or it's, Buffalo, could be a top team in the Atlantic and the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to play in my, you know, hometown and all of that. Like, there's a lot of different things here that could be in play for Patrick Kane.
Are you convinced that on October 3rd, the night of the home opener, Pat Kane will be playing?
Yes.
All right. It's Buffalo and Chicago. And we will see. And we want you to be there for not only the home opener, but for the entire season. And single game tickets are now available. They just went on sale today. You can experience every big moment live at KeyBank Center and be part of the excitement throughout the 26-27 season. So get your seats today at sabres.com/tickets. And how's this for the ultimate Sabres live segue? As told by yesterday's Channel 7 sports director guest Matt Bove, who leads us into today's special guest.
How's it going?
Okay, so that guy you just heard from is James McDuffie, and he is the best. See that office behind me? That's the Sabre security office. It's where he has worked for 30 years.
Everybody that comes through here, you know, they got to come past me.
Listen, this guy's got stories. Partying with Garth Brooks, ping pong with Phil Collins. He was on stage with Beyonce. This is a guy who has seen some stuff.
You know what they call me? Counselor. People come and talk to me, but they don't know. By them talking to me, they gave me something. Back.
And he is also beloved within the organization, and rightfully so.
I love that guy.
You know, the first person I saw most days when I walked into the rink, and just a really good human being.
Just so many great times. Like, he treated my family so well when they would come to games.
He's been awesome, not only to me, but my family.
A guy from the east side of Buffalo, working for the Buffalo Sabres for almost 30 years. It's a dream that it's a blessing too.
It's our blessing today to have James McDuffie in studio. How are you, good friend?
Good. How about you guys?
We're great. This is unbelievable. And
we've been wanting you in the show for like months now. We finally got you because you're retiring. Yes,
on August 6th, huh?
Yes. Yes.
How many years total?
28 full-time, two-part. Well, 30 altogether, but 28 full-time.
Man. So when you see, like we showed Rasmus Dahlin and Jack Eichel and Calipso, and all these guys, you know, saying such nice things about you, how you treat them, you treat their families. Like, what are you going to go home with all these stories about them? But how does it make you feel to know that you had such an impact, a personal impact, a human impact with a lot of people here?
It makes me feel great because, for one thing, I grew here. I've been here half of my life. Mm-hmm. And I got the friendships. And the guys like you and you, you know, and over the years, it's been amazing. You know, 1999 Stanley Cup. You know, I was here that Monday when I forgot what team we played. but I was here that night when we won the game to come here to play the Stanley Cup. And it was just... It was unbelievable to be part of
it. So after eliminating Toronto.
Toronto, yeah, yes.
Yeah, and yes. Razor and company, they always talk about the bus ride back and, you know, being here in Buffalo.
Man,
and,
that was the building was crazy. Obviously, the Stanley Cup. But even this year now, like you saw the building was and the vibe and people coming in with big smile through the security entrance. Like, how fun was that for you to see the players having that smile again, just back, like back in the days in the mid-2000s and the late 90s?
It was awesome because when the players come in, you know you played, and when the team is winning, it's like, man, the players are just so nice and humble. And, you know, you feel good being part of it. I mean, when I was leaving one day last week, it hit me. I'm leaving, you know, and I was going through the parking ramp to get in my truck. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe I'm about to retire. You know, and all the friendships and, oh, I got so many stories, but.
You know. Tell us one. What's the first one you want to tell?
Well, when the Pegulas, let me start with Norty Knox and his wife back in 1996 when I was part-time. And I had a chance to drive them with the cart. It was a cart for them because they was kind of getting up there in age. And they were so nice to us, you know. And Jean Knox, Miss Knox, mm-hmm. She was so nice. And Seymour the Fourth and his son, you know, and when they come now, Seymour, he'll come right inside security base and give me a hug. I mean, is something that you don't get, you know, from fakeness. It's real, and I know it's real, you know. And another story is when Mr. Pegula and them bought the team, and we had to meet and greet. And I was up there talking to me, Rennie Robert, and Rick Martin. Mm. So Derek, if you remember, Derek used to work in security.
Yeah.
We was upstairs, and me and Rick used to talk all the time because, I don't know, you might know, but Rick used to work with Max in the afternoon. I was working 3 to 11, and Rick used to smoke cigars. And he was like, James, you can't get my you-know-what finger to work on the door. I said, Rick, quit smoking them cigars, you know. So we was upstairs talking, and then Rennie said, I got a joke for you guys. So Derek is in awe. He texting his mother. I'm tripping. I'm like, Derek, these guys are just down-to-earth guys. And he told the joke, and it was just so hilarious, yeah. You know. I mean, it was beautiful, you know.
Well, honestly.
And that was obviously, for those, you know, who maybe don't remember, but, you know, when the Pegulas took over and then Rico passed.
2 weeks later.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so those moments are super special for you and for,
yes,
Derek and everybody that found themselves in that very short window of time.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was such an uplifting time when they bought the team, and then it was so crushing after having had them out on center ice.
Yes.
You know, like, it, anyway, it just, but I'm so glad. Like, that's one of those things that you think of first, and it speaks to the relationships that obviously came so naturally for people around the building here. I just wanted to follow up because you said you see people, you know, coming in every single day.
Yes.
And obviously there have been some really tough times.
Yes.
And you learn a lot about other people during the tough times.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you found some incredible humans that no matter what was happening, they were always full of respect and somehow able to just keep on pushing despite, you know, some real challenging times.
Oh, yeah. My dad died in 2007. And Miller Times, little cousin, remember he died?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
Same week. Oh. So he came to me, and we was talking, you know. And it was very emotional. So, you know, he asked me, if you need anything, let me know, you know. I said, okay, I will, you know. But those moments, you know, and Rick Jenneret. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that because I don't want to get too emotional. But it was a lot of great times, too, when I had people like Jay McKee and Tim Connolly. 2005-06, Jay McKee, and I tell Kevin Adams all the time when he was the GM here, I said, if Jay and Tim was not hurt,
yep,
we would have won the Stanley Cup. We would have won the Eastern Conference Final. We would have beat Edmonton because we had the better team, but a couple of our guys was hurt. You know that.
Yeah, and I know that. But you also probably saw Jay McKee crashing his Ferrari in the back parking lot.
I don't know nothing about that.
So those are the stories that
yeah,
you know, but
yes,
nobody else knows.
Yes.
And that happens.
Yes.
What was,
yes,
like this year to see like Maxim Afinagenov and Al Kolik and Ryan Miller and those guys come back? And then you also got a couple of presents. Like Chris Drury came back and gave you a nice
expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just unbelievable the way the guys come back, come inside security base, you know, and give me a hug. I got so many pictures. I ain't bring my phone. I mean, when I leave here, I got so much to take with me, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know what made me feel good? Remember when you asked me to walk your daughters up to y'all?
The set?
Set.
Yeah.
That made me feel good because you trusted me, mm-hmm, to, you know, James, my daughters come bring them up. And it was like, wow, that's it's the little things, you know. And then I met your son. I met your daughter yesterday, yeah, for the first time.
My youngest was here.
You know?
Do you remember meeting this guy?
Yes.
By chance? There wouldn't be, like, photo evidence of this.
Oh, it's
a
photo.
Is there?
Yes. Is
there photo evidence?
Yes. Who has it?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. What year is this?
That's March 2000.
That was my first full year. Look at my
three-piece
suit.
Right. Where
James,
were we at?
Look at us.
Where were we at?
We're in the back parking lot.
Look. I got hair. I got a mustache. That was 26 years ago. And one of the ushers, I was leaving. It was a game after a game.
Yeah.
And you look like you about 15. And we, the usher said, James, let me get a picture of you and your buddy Marty. And I hugged him, and he gave me that picture. And I brought it in yesterday, and I gave it to Sam to surprise you. 26 years ago.
Oh, man.
You ain't that skinny no more, buddy.
I am not that skinny no more. I don't have the three-piece suit no more.
You look
either.
A little more like Jacob in that picture. I got to say, your son. Holy cow.
I was 6'2", 165 pounds back then, Duffer. Yeah. Not going to go back in time, that's for sure. But that is amazing. That picture is incredible. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
There are so many others, pictures like and. We saw the Matt Bovee intro video earlier,
right.
and you heard from people in that, like Jack Eichel and Kyle Opozo and Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, when someone like Jack comes back and you have this moment where you get to wear his gold medal.
Yes.
What is that like?
I can't explain it. It's unbelievable to have a friendship. And I said it before. With Matt, I'm going to say it again. I grew up on the east side of Buffalo, kind of rough and tough. But I have learned and I have grown to have so much humility and thankfulness for how God put me in this position to meet all these people, touch their lives, and they touch mine. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. They touched me, And I got to say it. The last time I saw Rick when he was walking, he went upstairs and I told Olivia, mm-hmm. I said, Olivia, when Rick come down with his daughter, because he had the walker and he was a little frail. I said, call security before I can see him. So when he was coming down by the Samboni area to go out the back door, I called to him and he said, James, come here. He said, you taking care of your heart? I said, yeah, Rick, I'm taking care of my heart. He said, you take care of that heart. I said, I am, He said, I love you. I said, I love you too, Rick. And what people don't know, his wife saw that. She called Rich Dreller and said, I want to see him. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to tell him I love him. And a couple of weeks later, he was gone.
He was gone, man.
And we had some good times. He used to come in security, how the vendors used to leave his cases, stacks of beers. And he was like, James, don't be stealing my beer. I'm like, oh, Rick.
Well, you've given us insight into a lot of relationships mm-hmm. with a lot of well-known Sabres.
Right.
But we really want to know about the Garth Brooks, the Phil Collins, the Beyonce moments, and some of these incredible interactions with world-renowned stars.
I met Beyonce backstage. I wasn't on stage, but I met her backstage. Phil Collins, what happened was how you turn around the corner to go to the locker room, the old locker room before Mr. Pegula remodeled everything. I had to watch that area so wouldn't nobody come and bother him. So the guy he was playing ping pong with went to the bathroom. And he said, hey, Chum, pick it up. I said, I can't do that. He said, just pick it up. I said, okay. Happens, my old supervisor, director of security, John Fossil, came by. Hey, what are you doing? After the fact. I said, he asked me to pick it up. And my word was to John. And John know how. You know how I am. I said, what's the matter? You was jealous because you didn't get a chance to play? So that right there. And I got a chance to Garth Brooks was amazing. 5 days I was in the bowl. But back at the house, and this is what a lot of people know, backstage, acts come. Some of them have security. Garth didn't. He wanted to take him and his daughters about 5 o'clock out to mail some letters. His little girls, he wanted to take them. And he was like, where's the mailbox? I said, it's out here. He said, well, let me. I said, no. So I called Matt Rabinowitz. He was another one of the security directors. And I said, Matt, you better come down here. Garth want to take his daughters to the mailbox. And we had fans coming in because doors open up at 6. So Matt ran down and told him, let me take this down. Take this to the mailbox for you.
Amazing.
That is incredible.
Yes.
What are you going to do now? What are you going to do with your days? You retired. You were here during the day. Players come in the morning for practice. You're there. They leave in the afternoon. You're there. You say bye to them. You welcome them. All the acts, the great performances. Now what's on the plan for you for, you know, for your time?
Well, I got to talk to my wife, you know, see what the boss want to do. And my religion is very important to me, so I'm going to be more involved in that, you know, and just enjoy life, you know. And I will come back, you know, to watch a few games. I got invited, you know, by Laura Pagula, and, you know, I talked to Pete yesterday, and, you know, so, I mean, they really treat me so good. It's unbelievable, you know, the way everybody's reaching out to me. It's like, sometimes it gets to me a little overwhelming or a little embarrassed, like, yeah, I don't have, nah, James, you know.
Well, when we led this segment off, James, with the video from Matt Bove, the beauty of social media is when you get the genuine reactions. So, you know, the people that reacted to his video online and in the comments, which sometimes we don't want to read, but in this case you want to read. Like, this is just a quick scroll of all the people that couldn't wait to share their kind words, their remembrance of great interactions with you. And amidst a lot of these beautiful words, our producer Sam found that some refer to you as Duck.
Yes,
so
on the east side.
What's that? Tell us.
That was a nickname I was given playing basketball, you know, and it used to be like Duck because I throw the ball hard. Because, see, when I was younger, I was little Charles Barkley because I, you know, I'm 64 now. I don't look like that, you know. But that's where the name came from, and that's where the majority of the people on the east side know me. But I want to say a quick side note. You know who reached out and sent me a text? Doug McKenna came to see me.
Oh.
You know, he told me about his situation. And Doug had talked to Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night after that, a couple of weeks after that, Doug talked to Darcy. Doug gave Darcy my number. Saturday night, I'm at home watching TV, and I get a text. It's from Darcy Regier. That blew me away. It's wow. Like, wow, Darcy, you know, that, oh man, that, it makes me feel, you know, like, wow, I really accomplished something. I have people.
You touched everyone. Right?
In places, yes. You know, and I got friendships like y'all, how we kid around all the time.
Every day.
Know? Me and Razor, big head Razor, you know. He comes in security and he talks a lot of smack.
You know, the team photo and video, like, you know, the annual team photo, you being, you know, a part of that, and with Mike Kaminska, who's going to be coming up here on the show. Like, again, that just reinforces the appreciation and the value that you brought to this organization. This was incredible, wasn't it?
And you know what? To be honest, I didn't think I really did too much. I just did my job, but now seeing, you know, like looking right there, it was, oh my goodness, it's a blessing.
Well, like Josh Allen says, do good, be good. And he said, go Bills. We're going to say, go Sabres, go James. It's awesome to have you on the show telling the stories. I know there's many, many more stories. Anybody want to, you know, see Duck around town and ask him about more stories that he can tell? That would be great. But I didn't even know about your nickname. Yes. I wish I'd have known. I would have called you Duck all the time when I come in. I was like, James, how you doing? But now it's Duck from now on.
Well, you now know where the studio is.
Yes.
And while when we are on air, the door is typically closed, you know that it's always open to come back with all this extra time on your hands. Okay?
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you, my brothers. Mm-hmm. Always and forever.
All James right. McDuffie. 30 years security here with the Sabres, retirement coming up in the first week of August. We have Sabres Embedded coming up tonight on YouTube at 7 p.m.
We were very competitive. There's a few times where my mom was not too happy with us. My dad used to make a rink for us in the backyard, and there were plenty of instances where she told us to put a helmet on or whatever, and 5 minutes later she'd hear someone crying or screaming or whatever.
What do you call me when you're annoyed with me?
Joshua.
You're like, Josh.
There we go. That's what they want.
Best mom in the world.
There we go.
Come on. And they were all good boys, really. I mean, I can't really complain. We always used to tell them they wouldn't be able to play hockey if they didn't get good grades. And luckily, they never tested us on that.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most
part. Yeah.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Special Sabres Live continuing right now in advance of the home opener. We can't wait. It's rapidly approaching, and we have the opportunity for you to win two tickets to the opener against the Hawks October 3rd here at KeyBank Center. All you got to do is go to sabres.com/enter for your chance. So we had James McDuffie, three decades with the Sabres, with us earlier in the show. And Mike Kaminska has actually been with us closer to 40 years. He was Sabretooth. He was the longtime director of merchandise. He has just retired. And Mike, it is so great to have you in studio today. Oh, yeah. Congratulations on this incredible career with this organization. How do you sum it up in a sentence to somebody at this stage?
Family. You know, this has been a second family to me. And like James said, getting ready to walk out of here that last day, like a couple weeks before I was done, my last day, I was like, man, this is going to be emotional. And walking out and getting into the parking ramp, and it's like, this day's coming soon. And so sure enough, it did. And but yeah, just the people I work with in merchandise and, you know, Jeff Smith, Glenn Barker, just a couple of them, Becky, Deshaun, you know, Richie and Nolan down there. We see them more than our family. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to see my wife when I get home, but you know, I'm here 6-7 days a week in season, and you know, a game day, it's like 8:30 till 11 o'clock at night. And but you know, I get home, she's right there with the dog to greet me, and just the people here have just been great. You know, the family, five different ownerships I worked with here, and you know, they've all been top-notch. And the Pagulas, you can't say enough about them. They're the greatest people in the world. And yeah. And really miss Kim being around here, and used to work with her daily. But Terry, you know, I told him at the dev camp that I was retiring. He goes, oh my God, well, how long? About 37 years. He goes, oh, wow, thank you. So. But yeah, it's been great.
So you obviously have a different relationship with the fans and with the people in the organization than James did. But you, even in your last week, you worked the dev camp. You're like behind the table and setting up the merchandise for the fans. So, like, what was it like to see people come in to Sabres store or to some of the, you know, little spots in the arena or next door at Harbor Center? And seeing the excitement, picking up a hat, a jersey, young and old. So what was that like for you to have that relationship with the fans?
It was great. You know, just we had a tough time missing the playoffs for the 15 years. But this year, it just November on, it was just nuts. Like every day, every game, you're seeing a lot of the season ticket holders come all the time. Or if they're not at every game, they may be coming in during the day. And just seeing the excitement. You know, like you mentioned the dev camp, that those people, it seems like the same people come to the dev camp every year.
Hardcore
and,
fan.
Definitely. But it was nonstop from November, December on, and, you know, the jersey sales and, you know, ordering merchandise, getting that in the playoffs. It was just, you know, it was nothing like playoffs 15 years ago where it was more like a game. Now it's like our sales were like triple of a good game with the playoffs, and we were right up there. Probably top three, top four in the league of the 16 teams. And that was, you know, gratifying. You know, it was just like, wow, this, I don't remember this. This is just crazy. So, but yeah, it's been nice.
So the first official thing you did with this team was as the mascot, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was Sabretooth. There was one guy before me that worked the first year. And then I took over after that season into the second year, and just so many memories there. And I could get into a couple of them. I met my wife as Sabretooth. You know, I actually sat on her lap at a game, and you know, it thought nothing
That's
of it.
That's a great way to meet your significant other, your wife. You're like, hey, this is a good-looking young lady. I'm going to sit
so
and
So she thought you were good-looking in costume. This is how, like...
But it, yeah, it was just... She sat, I don't know if you remember, over at the Odd, the last row of the blues. You could go up the stairs, and the last row went right across the stairs.
Yeah.
So I saw this girl there, so I thought, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm going to sit down a second. So I sat down, and you know, I thought nothing of it. And you know, we went out to Garcia's after the game, and one of my friends saw one of his friends, and he goes, oh, I'm here with Sabretooth. Oh, Sabretooth sat on Jennifer's lap. I go, I did. And I was trying to think of it. And so then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember now. And then talking to her. And she had a boyfriend at the time, but gave her some tickets to some games and that. And then.
Hey, Sabretooth is way better than any boyfriend you could get. So that's the card.
Yeah. So then, yeah, you know, we kept in touch and then didn't see each other for a while. And then I saw her again. About a year later, and she goes, oh, I don't have a boyfriend anymore. And I'm like, oh, wow. So, like, we ended up going out and actually got engaged 3 months later and just celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
But you were busy as Sabretooth. It wasn't just, you know, finding your wife of 34 years. It was also... like 300 appearances a year, like on Saturdays and Sundays, you would go from one location to another and just make great young and old fans like feel so good about. So you were putting like 100 hours a week back then doing both jobs.
Yeah, it was crazy. I ran a fast food restaurant back then and we were closed in the winter. So it kind of worked out doing this with the Sabres. But it got to the point where, like you said, 300 appearances a year. And, you know, 40-plus hockey games, you know, 8 banded games. And I would go down to Rochester for a few games as well. And so it just got to be crazy. So I came to the Sabres. And said, is there anything else I could do here? And they give retail experience. I go, yeah. Well, we need a retail guy. And so I'm like, okay. So I basically did the two jobs. And then we were getting ready to move over to the arena here. And, you know, and they're like, well, which do you want to do? Do you want to do Sabretooth or do you want to do merchandise? And so I... took the merchandise route and but you say appearances too. It's, I tell the story a lot to people. One time we went on a hospital visit with the players and we were at Children's Hospital and there was a kid, he had to be about 15, 16 years old. He was, had a head harness on, his arms were strapped to the bed and the nurse goes, oh, come on, you know, you don't have to go into this room. And I'm like shaking my head. No, I want to go into this room. And so I went in, and this kid just raised his hand, had the biggest smile on his face, and just held my hand. And the nurse went out to the nurse's station. You guys got to see this. You guys got to see this. He hasn't reacted to anything like this. And, oh, my God, come on in here. So I sat in that room for, like, 20 minutes holding this kid's hand, just bawling my eyes out underneath the outfit. And just, like I mentioned, gratifying with customers, you know, this... so gratifying too, just I'm having that effect on person. And all the different appearances we did, you know, whether it was a little kid or older person or whatever, or meeting your wife, you know, it was great. And you know, it's just, you know, you're representing the Sabres, and you know, it was just so humbling. So
beautiful story. And I'm wondering, when you started as Sabretooth, what were the qualifications? Like, you know, I would obviously never feel like if I saw an online posting for a team mascot right now, I would assume I would be scared of what they might be asking as far as flexibility, athletic ability, personality, some would say. I mean, so what, like, what was the key that allowed you to start this?
Well, the biggest thing was passion for hockey. You know, I played hockey my whole life. And Steve Donner, who used to be our marketing director here, you know, asked me if I wanted to be Polio Parrot at a Sabre game. So I did that, and for a game, handing out string cheese.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a lot of fun. And so then he goes, well, do you want to try Sabretooth, too? Because, you know, we need someone to fill in a couple weeks. And I go, yeah, I'd love it. So I did that. It was at a hockey tournament at Holiday Rinks. And, you know, I was out there skating and stuff. And it just... you know, I loved it. And then it got to the point where, well, do you want to take the job over? And I'm like, yeah. So it's like, you know, it was like a dream come true. And it just, you know.
But it's All-Star Games, and it's like, yeah. What did you say? The Mascot Olympics? Like, yeah. What was that? The Mascot Olympics. What were the discipline you had to compete in?
Yeah, they were fun games in the Mascot Olympics. It was in Orlando, and there were mascots from the football, baseball, basketball, college, and hockey. And back then, there was probably only about four or five mascots at first in the NHL. And but the Mascot Olympics, the guy Stuff from the Orlando Magic ran this through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it was outside at one of the stadiums, and we had a rain delay. So it's like all the guys are sitting in the locker room, and I'm like, I'm going out to see the kids. So I went out and, you know, socialized with the kids, shook hands, gave hugs, and it was a great time. Like, our wives were all there, too, and they took great care of us, took us to Disney and all over Orlando. And but yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
So because we asked James, we'll ask you as well. Where did the nickname come from?
Ernie?
Yeah.
I've had Ernie ever since I was like 3 years old. And I met Ernie Warlick, who used to play for the Bills. He was a big tight end. Mm-hmm. And I was at the mall crying one day, and this big black guy comes up to me and big hands and introduced himself. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So my older brothers, I'm the youngest of seven kids, and played football. So I'd put football equipment on and pretend I was Ernie Warlick. And by the time I got into school, like, everyone knew me as Ernie. And I made sure people called me Ernie. And so it stuck my whole life. And then they said I was in the restaurant business, and Ernie Warlick came in for dinner one night, and one of the waitresses told me that Ernie was here. And so I went up to the table, excuse me, I got this story I want to share with you. And I told him, and he like started tearing up, his eyes were crying. He goes, thank you for sharing that with me. That's the greatest story I've ever heard. And oh my gosh, it stuck your whole life. And it's funny now, or even years ago, I'd be out at a bar and, how you doing? I'm Mike Kaminska. Oh, do you have a brother, Ernie? And I'm like, well, that's me too.
That's so, me.
Amazing. So, Mike, incredible stories.
Ernie.
And thank you, obviously, for, you know, the almost 40 years here with the organization.
Yeah.
I got some good swags at home because you always took care of me really well, so that's good.
Yeah, the guys too, the players. You know, we mentioned the regular fans, but years ago the players would come in down to the aisle. And I remember Yuri Himalev used to like take his shirt off and try his shirt on right there in the aisleways and stuff. And, you know, Larry Playfair coming in and, you know, hey, do you need some help with those boxes? You know, we can move stuff around. And like to see him to this day doing the 50-50. And, you know, it's like, you know, the All-Star game I went to in Pittsburgh, we flew on the Washington Capitals charter, and it was with Pierre Turgeon, Darren Pupa, Dave Anderchuk, and Pierre Turgeon. Mm-hmm. And like just being with those guys. And that.
Thank you so much for everything, Mike. Right. It's been a pleasure. Mike Kaminska, longtime director of merch and formerly Sabretooth. We'll wrap up Sabres Live after this.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's coming up this Saturday, so that means rapidly. It's our pet adoption event, 10 to 2 here at KeyBank Center in partnership with the Bills. Adoptable cats and dogs from local shelters, and we're encouraging you to donate pet food as well. Cat and dog food unopened and receive 30% off at the Sabre store. Mm-hmm. So that is a really nice way to cap this week, having the pet adoption here at KeyBank Center. As far as today, it's been pretty special to have a couple of great guests in studio, and we close with a little Dazzled and Disturbed.
Dazzled and
Disturbed.
So this is interesting.
Really
quick. The Heat posted a link to a YouTube presser introducing LeBron James to come back with the Heat. Now, you know what's crazy? In 2010, Spain won the World Cup, 1-0 in extra time, and then he signed with the Heat. And now in 2026, Spain won the World Cup, 1-0 in overtime, and now it looks like LeBron James may go
there. This was immediately deleted. Happy birthday to former Sabres Jerry Desjardins, Dmitry Kalinin, among others. We'll see you at Johnson's Landing. Sabres Live tomorrow on location.